From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, October 4th. Coming up, as more states approve medical or recreational marijuana, local utilities can face a new challenge. We'll learn how some rural electric and water managers are handling a marijuana boom in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Women's rights activists in Champaign-Urbana took to the streets over the weekend to march for abortion rights. Carolina Garibay of the Illinois Public Media Student Newsroom has more.
I demand bodily autonomy!
I demand bodily autonomy!
Women's rights activists chanted in front of the alma mater statue on the University of Illinois campus at the Women's March Saturday, hosted by the Women's Law Society. On their minds, access to safe and legal abortions.
It's absolutely hypocritical of people who are for limited government to make decisions about increasing government's control on someone else's bodily autonomy.
As a man, it's especially important to come out here and support my female friends and support their equal right to choose.
You won't dictate any aspect of my life, my hair, my color, my skin, the lipstick I wear. You don't dictate what I do, and you certainly don't dictate my reproductive rights.
That was U of I law student Bucktower Mirja, political science student Peyton Snyder, and State Representative Carol Ammons speaking Saturday at the Women's March in Champaign-Urbana. I'm Carolina Garibay, Illinois Newsroom.
A Vermilion County judge ruled against calls from some teachers and parents to remove state mandates for COVID-19 vaccines, testing, and masking in schools last week. This comes after Governor Pritzker's executive order announced last month requiring all schools to follow COVID-19 protocols or lose state funding. Teachers who refuse to vaccinate must be tested weekly. Michael Baker, a Vermilion County resident and Hoopston Area School District parent, protested outside the county courthouse on Friday, saying that parents should get to decide whether or not their kids wear masks to school.
But, you know, it's our choice if we're going to either mask our children. There's times that I just don't want to send my kids, but they need education.
Additional hearings have been scheduled on the case for later this month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that both masks and vaccines are effective at preventing the spread and infection of COVID-19. After merely steady increases, the price of farmland has rocketed up this year. But as Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, some experts don't think that will last.
Gary Schnitke is a professor of farm management at the University of Illinois. He's been tracking farmland prices closely. He says high corn and soybean prices, combined with low interest rates on loans, have made farmland across the country more valuable this year. But
I do not think farmland prices are going to continue at their high rates that they have in this year or in 2021 because it simply isn't sustainable.
Schnitke predicts farmland values will track corn and soybean prices unless interest rates go up and make the borrowing needed to buy land less attractive. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn how some rural utilities are handling increased demand for power and water from marijuana businesses. That story from Harvest Public Media is next on 217 Today.
Over the past few years, many of the basic tenets of how and why Americans work have been upended. The usual ladders to security, like education, hard work, lifelong employment, are breaking down. Future of Work, which is a three-part documentary series from PBS, explores the monumental changes in our workplace and the long-term impact new technology might have. Learn how you can stream the entire series as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. As more states approve medical or recreational marijuana, they have to figure out how to regulate production. In Oklahoma, nearly 10% of the population has a medical marijuana card. That's causing a boom in growers across the state. As Harvest Public Media's Seth Bodine reports, the demand for water and electricity is straining some rural utilities.
Inside a big metal building outside Stillwater, Oklahoma, Adam Miller fills up a big tank of water. Miller is the head grower of the marijuana business Iris Farms, where he's responsible for caring for about 5,000 growing cannabis plants. That takes lights, fans, and water. He says his electric bill can be up to $3,000 a month. But his water bill? It's pretty low, only about $40 a month. Miller says that's different from growing outdoors.
I'm watering individual plants, half gallon of water at a time, and they're irrigating a field, and the space between the rows and everything else is absorbing all that water, so they just got to use a lot of it.
Over the past 9 months, 8 cannabis growers have moved to Hughes County. As Sheldon Tatum drives his truck on a dirt road, he stops and points out what may be a new outdoor farm.
I don't know. I'm not going to get out there and climb over the gate.
Tatum is a rural water district manager. He provides water to all residents in his service area. But there's one thing he's sure of. Some farms take a lot of water.
I had one last month that was 223,000 gallons.
Tatum worries the recent increase in water use will cause breaks in the old piping, which would add to utility bills.
We've got water systems that were built 50, 60 years ago being asked to perform to standards today that are just outside of its capacity.
Since Oklahomans approved medical marijuana in 2018, the number of licensed cannabis growers has exploded to more than 8,000 to meet the state's demand. For Tom Whitaker, a water district manager in Wynnewood, Oklahoma, meeting growers' demands for water comes down to resources.
Based on the numbers that I'm seeing, I will run out of water.
Whitaker says he's sold 40 million gallons of water so far this year. He expects that'll double, which is dangerously close to the amount of water the state's resources board has given them, which is why he's cutting people off at 10,000 gallons a month.
Because if I start pumping over pumping, I start robbing from my neighbor over here, and then he don't have any water, and then pretty soon nobody has water, and that's our challenge.
Cannabis does take water to grow, but Chris Dillis, a researcher at UC Berkeley, says the plant isn't thirstier than other irrigated crops.
When cannabis is grown in areas that are more home to traditional agriculture, it's really not all that different from other crops in terms of water requirements.
But it's not just water.
These growers are using as much power as a small city.
That's Logan Pleasant, the director of operations at Lake Region Electric Cooperative. He says there's more than 100 growers that use their electric system. If this keeps up, Pleasant says the co-op will have to buy new substations and even install new power lines. That would cost thousands of dollars, and the price tag would be shared by each member of the co-op. But if the marijuana boom turns into a bust, that could be a problem.
Many of these locations will either close up shop or they will scale back significantly if the market wanes.
And that's a very real possibility. John Hudak is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution who studies marijuana policy.
There are far too many growers. There are far too many dispensaries in that state for the number of patients that there are.
The Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority doesn't regulate how much water and electricity growers use. But a spokesperson says it plans to work closely with municipalities and agencies like Oklahoma's Water and Energy Boards on finding solutions. In the meantime, local utility managers will have to make hard decisions about what they do with limited resources and growing demand. Seth Bodine, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says mostly cloudy skies today with a chance of showers and a high of 75 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Carolina Garibay, Farrah Anderson, Dana Cronin, and Seth Bodine. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.